Hot in here? Not for the people wearing shorts. By Gary. How many of you think you can worship the Lord in cutoffs? And not be cut off? How many think you can worship the Lord dancing to the music? How many remember when you couldn't? And you shouldn't. We were talking about this the other day because the young people are going to work on singing some, dancing to some song from somebody. Mercy somebody? Mercy me? So we had this little discussion. Well, if they go up in front of the Belt Community Church people, what will happen if they dance to this music? Dance as who in the Old Testament danced to the music? Stickers everywhere. Just because it may not be our history or our culture, does it mean that it's not God? I can't do this without thinking of Marco Rubio drinking his water. Just because it's not our history or our culture. Now, I know when you cross over to some cultures, it's you need to be wise, but I have told you when I went as a young man to Seattle in 1970, leaving the, don't start me yet, editor. I have to edit out what I don't want to go around the world. My mother's watching, my sister's watching. I'm hearing about it in town. They're watching us. How many of you know they're watching us? Looking to find something. Something good, I'm sure. I went to the Moore Theater on 2nd Avenue. I'd read about it. Me, I was just out of Great Falls, just graduated from high school. And I heard, and the Jesus people were gathering together. I didn't quite know who they were, but I wanted to hear them sing. And you've heard me say this. They got in, they were doing some song, and they weren't standing like we used to stand at Central Assembly of God Church, like this. They weren't standing like this. They were doing this. My first thought is, they can't do that. You can't be animated and praise the Lord at the same time. What do you think, David? David thinks he can, huh? Of course, there's always some people that take it to extremes, but the Lord is blessed by our animation. They thought it was extreme when we raised our hands and prayed in church. Do we remember that? It's extreme when we clap our hands, even though the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. It was extreme. So, in this lifetime, you may never see me dancing in the church. We did it years ago at Calvary, and I know they do it over. And talking to Renee and her daughter and others that lead another fellowship victory, there's a world of worship that must have escaped me, really had. I remember we was just coming into that, and then I ran away and lived in a cave for 20 years. So. I just want us to praise the Lord. I want it to be free. I want it to be real. I want it to be genuine. I don't want it to be hysterical. But in the praises of His people, that's where God shows up. It's not that I have a desire to do crazy things. We have a desire to have God here in our midst in a strong, magnified way. Wrote down here that I have to say something very nice about Nadine for the hard work she did on those flowers out front there yesterday. Dragging that hose around and putting those, whatever they were called, marigolds and what? Petunias. So would you bless Nadine for her work yesterday? And Donna and Terry, the work that they've done. Hezekiah filled in on the board this morning at a moment's notice because I believe Don's on her way to Europe. And so we have all kinds of things happening. Mo's back, terribly excited about that. I'm just excited to have somebody go through that, come back. She said you're on your way to San Diego, and there you're going to Fort something or other. Fort Pendleton. Okay. Can just anybody come down and visit you in San Diego, or do you want a sign-up list out front there? Then you join the fleet. Woo-hoo. Sounds exciting. Let's bless her this morning. Let's see. It was a particular moment yesterday when Pastor Heifel and kids from all over showed up, and they gathered together out front and took off, and Pastor Heifel and two or three of his kids, I mean, the guy's got like an army of kids, and then he's got kids in college or something. It's like it never ends, and they're in college, and they're, oh, is that something? And he walked, you know, they're all over the place. The kids are talking. They looked around out there. Then they walked down the hall and looked in here. How many of you know that's a good thing? It's a good thing. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord. The 10th of June, right around the corner, I'll be sharing something wonderful, I'm sure. In the morning and at night, we will sing, and their fellowship, their singers will come over. We will have what we're calling affectionately a spring sing thing. That will take place the 10th of June. Please be here at night, and we'll have a barbecue. You know, we know how to get you here. Barbecue first, right? Food first, fellowship second. So we'll be doing that. Pastor David, you'll be on the cooker, won't you? I hope so, cooking up a storm. And we will look forward to that night. Life is full of ups and downs, and Jesus is the way maker. He is the one who brings peace. He's the one who brings understanding. He's the one who brings healing. Is it warm in here, or is it still just me? Well, take my jacket off. Okay. I'm going to do that so you can see my little horse. That's the only reason I took the jacket off. We're not rolling yet, are you? Okay. Cut this out, Rio, this stuff. I really just want to share. I don't like to, people say, what are you preaching on? I say, I don't preach. Well, what do you do? Well, I just like to share because it's less pressure if you just share. If you preach, you really got to get at it. This stage of my life, I just want to share what's in my heart. Simple, simple share. And it's this message or this little verse or this little whatever I'm leaving with you should be a Labor Day message. But it's not. It's coming to you on Memorial Day. Sorry about that. Got a little mixed up. I just don't know how you share, when you share. And me, if it's in my heart, it comes out. That's what I work on. I don't work on what's not in my heart. And the message has to do with us being... hello? With us being Spirit-led. Because Christ has come to our life. We're not the same people we used to be. And that's a pause for an amen. We're not the same people. Not because, boy, did I get tough with myself. No, because Christ is within us. He is at work within us. Not browbeating us. Not shaming us. Bless my mother's heart. I know you'll hear this, mother. But one of her lines with me is, you're a fourth grader and you're still doing that? You're a third grader and you're still doing that? I don't even know that might be effective, but I don't think it's the right way. Sorry, Ma. God works at us without shame. Now, he might convict us, and he does. He does not shame us. That's not his way. Let me read a couple things. Now that we have the Spirit within us, our journey includes learning to live by the Spirit, learning from the Spirit, learning the joy of servanthood-labor,
learning to love as led by the Spirit. Oh, the joy of worship, that just like we just experienced in His presence. We worship, our hearts are lifted. And the next line, in case you miss it this morning, is, oh, the joy, oh, the Jesus joy. Now, there's joy and then there's Jesus joy. If you hear Jesus joy, that means that's what the joy the Christian has. Amen? You don't have, if you're not a born-again believer, you can have all kinds of joy. It's just not Jesus joy. I'm sorry. It can't be, because He's motivating within. I keep my pants up. Oh, the Jesus joy of worship. Oh, the Jesus joy of work. W-O-R-K. Of doing, of going, and of being. How many of you old enough to remember Maynard G. Krebs? Nobody's that old besides me. Maynard G. Krebs, Dobie Gillis. What did Maynard G. Krebs, what was he famous for saying? One word. Work. Dobie Gillis was a show on TV that came out during the early 60s. The hippies were finding themselves. And evidently the writer of this particular show thought that in the hippie land there was a whole lot of sitting around going on. Do you remember that? Anybody alive besides me in the 60s? That's what the writer of the show was. And so he picked on a guy, and Maynard G. Krebs, and when whatever would happen during the TV show, when it got around to the word work, he would go, all together now, work! Sorry. I guess you had to be there. Really? Here's a mood killer. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Brace yourself. If a man does not work, how can this be biblical? How can it be biblical? Finish the sentence now. If a man does not work, he does not what? Oh, that can't be true. And the stadium grew quiet. If a man does not work, then that man or woman, you know, you understand man here, they meant women too. Did you never hear from your parents, if this room isn't cleaned, you're not eating tonight, you go in your room until it's clean, and then you can have, did anybody hear that besides me? You never heard it, Eli. Put that hand down. Okay, you've heard it. You heard, your dad ever say that? He said to you, if you're not, just last week, wasn't it? Acts chapter 2. I'm getting all the hard stuff out early. I think it's tough stuff. 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord just kept adding to this church. Those that were getting saved, they just kept coming in. Is this the time? for you and for me to sell what we have and become a Christian commune. Is this on? It is, isn't it? Is this the time for you and I, according to biblical pattern, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is this the time for you and I to sell what we have and essentially move together? We got how many acres, Pastor, out here? Pastor Harry, we got a few acres. It's downhill all the way to the river, the creek, but have you ever camped out, gone camping and not put your tent flat? So like everybody in the place is like this and over in one corner when it's all done? If we had time, I would unload my heart. Jesus' disciples stayed with Jesus for 3 years, following him, walking with him wherever he went. Who paid for all that? They were, for the most part, you don't see a whole lot of fishing and et cetera, going on. You see a whole lot of ministry. How'd that happen? How did a gang of 12 or 13 walk around day after day after day after day ministering, getting in this boat, going to this side of the lake, going to that side of the lake, coming back, going forward, up and down? Who paid for all that? The truth is, a lot of it was paid for by women. The Bible says they gave to his purpose. That's what the Bible reads. While the men were out really turning that area upside down, the women were paying for it. Who wrote this thing? It's the truth. An absolute monumental, nothing like it moment, not even a moment, a time frame. From the time that Jesus turned the water into wine to the time that he ascended into heaven to the day of Pentecost to the 3,000 who said, "We accept Christ. What do we do?" Head for the river. They were baptized. The preaching continues. Now it's 5,000. 5,000 people. They gathered together. They're excited. They had never conceived of such a thing. The Messiah that had been prophesied about for years had actually come. Their lives were changed. Not only that, now they had this living spirit within them, being led by the Spirit. They couldn't help but worship. They couldn't help but say, "Teach us more." There was such a hunger in that early time. A desire. Let's get together. Not just on Sunday morning from 10 to, it better be 11:30, or we get too hungry, I know, or sleepy. It was a time like none other. And they gathered together, and they wanted to pray, and they wanted to worship, but how many of you know, even being that spiritual, they still got probably hungry. So somebody was continually being sent to Walmart back then. They had a little different kind. Get some food. We got to feed these people. You only hear one, well, you see it recorded only a few times where Jesus turned this little bit of meal into feeding a lot. But Jesus is gone. You don't quite read where that's done by anybody else. They had a different plan. Pastor Joe, sell what you have. Now, come on. Don't give me that look. Sell what you have, Brother Elder Duane. Put it in the pot. And the Bible says they gave to everyone who had need. What a tremendous era. Does it sound like socialism? I'm just saying. Then those first several words in chapter 3 of Acts. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray.
were involved in the healing of the cripple. That really upset.
I believe this passage was written at a phenomenal time. And the people were so excited to be together, they just wanted to worship and praise God. But you know, from the very beginning, the heart of the Spirit was to have the Word of God go to all the nations. Have you never been to camp meeting? It's a wonderful place, usually unless you work there. Then you get paid, huh? That's not so bad. You go to camp meeting like I went to. You get up in the morning, you go into the cafeteria, someone's there to feed you. Someone collects the plates, someone does the dishes. And you go walking around, maybe in the afternoon you go walking around Hungry Horse area, you go swimming, you go this, you go that. You have lunch. Somebody delivers the food, somebody washes, somebody whatever. What do you have to do? You need to take a nap, right? You've had a rough day. You head for the bed and take that nap because you got to get rested because what's coming up at 5 o'clock? Dinner. Dinner that somebody else provides, somebody else cleans, they deliver it to you. And then at night you get to go and you worship the Lord. And you praise and you praise and you praise and you're not in a hurry. You don't have to drive. You walk back to your place. What a wonderful, wonderful place. There's a reason why usually camps only last a week or two. Because things would turn if that's all we did. Besides that, how would we reach the unsaved? So the Lord, after he allowed his people to rejoice, they got excited. They said, let's sell everything. Let's stay here and enjoy things. The Lord allowed this cripple to be healed and the persecution to follow. Stephen to be stoned. Paul to be on the scene. Before long, Christians were driven all over the known world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a case, or not a case, but a circumstance, I'll say, for the catastrophes of life. Now that we have the heart of Jesus in us, we're supposed to have care for other people, like Pastor Joe said. We're supposed to be motivated and moved by love. Faith, hope, but the greatest of these, thank you. What would we do if we were like these places with these tornadoes where people are left and their houses are blown down, they're sitting out and there's no food, no place to sleep, nothing, everything's been taken away. The only disaster around here I ever saw was the flood of 1964, but there was one in 53, I understand, and God knows how far back. 53, 64, and 75, every 11 years, what's up with that? But people rushed to help one another. You would rush. You would try to move stuff out. You were there in that circumstance. It really wasn't acceptable to say, well, I'm watching Jeopardy. Can you hold that thought? They were in Jeopardy. And so the heart of the community goes forward. Last 10 years, I have spent quite a bit of time studying in a few other circumstances, reviewing and understanding the plight of the Jews out of Germany in the 40s, 38s, 40s. And how people, for the most part, who had their act together, for the most part, they were leaders of their community and they had wealth, for the most part. How they were reduced to loading up into boxcars with the clothes they had on. Everything they had was gone. The cry coming across the waters would America stand by and watch that happen? I won't get into all the politics of that, but eventually we went over there. Our men landed, and women. We helped to correct that situation. Is it ever possible that in the Belt community, in the Great Falls community, Highwood, is it ever possible that there might be a catastrophic issue ever hit us? To where we could not sit in our comfort? Where we would have to bond together to make it? Can anybody even perceive how that could happen? I can. My crazy friend Gary Huffman can. He sees it all over the place. Case for the catastrophic. Case for the casualty. A fellow named Lemuel, or however you pronounce his name, had a good thing going. Middle child, that wasn't so good, he thought, but he liked to travel and he took off. And on the high seas, a vicious storm came. And the storm essentially put him in the water along with the rest of his mates. And the author says they didn't know, he's not sure what happened to the rest of his mates, but he just kept swimming. A casualty of the wreck. He swam and he swam and he swam until he just about to give up and his feet touched the bottom. All you guys that go to the swimming pools, you ever do that? You get out there and just, you're swimming trying to impress everybody, but while you're swimming on top, your feet are looking, where is that bottom? Where is that bottom? I used to do that at Mitchell Pool. I ended up being the head lifeguard of Mitchell Pool, and I couldn't hardly swim when I was a kid. Well, I learned to swim there. I would go along the side, going right underneath the lifeguard, like they didn't know I couldn't swim. Get back there. Mitchell Pool was the only pool, excuse me, in the old days. Great Falls. His feet touched bottom and he got to shore and he walked, according to the book, the narrative, about a half a mile inland, and he was so exhausted, shipwrecked, that he laid down. Tell me, dear friend of mine, have you ever had circumstance come your way and exhaustion come your way and heartbreak come your way to the degree that inside of you, emotionally, mentally, physically, you just decided you had to lay down because you could not stand up. And you laid down. And he did. I do believe there's a time to stop, lay down. When you are at your wit's end, emotionally, physically, contrary to what maybe others tell you, I think there's a time to say, time out. I'm giving myself a time out. I have got to. What is the option of not, what is the alternative of not doing that, Miss Health Specialist? Mental breakdown. Thank you for sharing. But while he was asleep, the enemy was at work. Little bitty strings. He tied down his arms and his legs. And he was a hippie, like Gary. They tied down his long hair. He's on the beach. And when he went to get up, 8 hours after sleeping, he tried to raise himself, but he couldn't. Couldn't move. Different things had come into his life that now held him down that weren't there before. He got his left hand free somehow. He started to try to get the rest of him free, and the enemy, which just happened to be how tall, those of you following me? Oh, Taylor, that's not fair. How tall was the enemy in this story, I'm telling you? 6 inches. How could that be? That was close, David. 6 inches tall. That's how tall his captors were. Talking about Lemuel Gulliver. Gulliver's Travels. They tied him down, and when he tried to get up, they were all over the place, and they took arrows, and they shot at him. And yow! And he thought twice before trying to get up again. Have we ever had the enemy take advantage of us when we are exhausted, when we are beat, when we are at our wit's end, and have him bring in things into our life, situations into our life, addictions into our life, issues into our life?
That while we were laying down and it wasn't our fault, we were a casualty. Nonetheless, the enemy didn't care whose fault it was. He tied you down when you were weak. Laid you down. And when you try to get up, you paid a price for it. You ever tried to change your life? Habits, issues, addictions, problems? You ever said, that's enough of that, I'm going to change my life? And you found out it's just not that easy? You didn't have a marching band saying, okay, Mark, he's changing his life. All right, Johnny, what do we have for Mark? No, you have the enemy. You're going to try to get out of the mess you're in. You say, but I'm a casualty. Hear me now. This is getting close to the end of what we're saying. I'm a casualty. The enemy took advantage of me. Now I have these things in my life that hold me down. I cannot get up. I have got to lay here and somebody has to feed me. And they did. He pointed to his mouth and said, the little six-inch people said, he wants food. Then he pointed to his mouth and they brought him drink. He thought, this is a pretty good deal. Actually, this isn't quite so bad. You point, they bring the food. You point, they bring the wine. I'm not so sure getting up is all it's cracked up to be. I'm not so sure that, well, it's not my fault, number one. Number two, that really hurts when I try to change my lifestyle. That's why I had my coat on, I think. You ever tried to lose weight? The same marching bands out there in the morning welcome you every day? No. I wake up thinking of all the reasons why I cannot do it today. If it wasn't for this, I would do it. I've already told myself, Monday, I'm going for a walk. If I feel good enough. Nobody wants you to get up in the dark side of the world. Nobody wants you to be strong. Nobody wants you to be free. As a matter of fact, satanic power and forces comes against you. If you try to get up, what are they going to do? Just stand there and applaud? They're going to make you pay the price for just trying. Please say amen, because you know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. You try to get up, and the enemy lands right on you. Says, don't try that again. And we come to a point where we say, okay, I won't. And I'm down. That's where I belong. I'm a casualty. I'm a victim. And you are a victim. You are a victim. You had nothing to do with the wreck. Even if you did, you're a victim. You laid down, you slept, the enemy came in over your life. You didn't ask for that. You're a victim. You are a victim. Exodus says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I don't want to be healed. Oh, come on, Pastor Mark, you don't really mean that. Yes, I do. You have people feeding you and giving you drink and taking care of you, and you get heat every time you try to get over something. Isn't it just okay just to be a victim? Not in God's eyes. God wants you and me well. Say amen, please. He wants us healthy. In Him, we live and move. Why do they have to put the word move in there? Because as believers, we move. Now, there are believers that can't even get out of wheelchairs or can't do anything, but in their spirit's eye, they can get to their place of prayer. I'm amazed at the number of people that are praying for this fellowship. I don't attend this fellowship. prayer. So many things that God calls us to, but He does not call us to be bound to the ground. That's pretty good. You can title that sermon, Bound to the Ground. He does not call us to be bound to the ground. He's not. Then there's the comfortability of the couch. Not a casually, you just love that couch. Woo-hoo! Have we taken an offering? Did we? You're not a casualty, you just love that couch. There are people who give, and there are people who receive. I just happen to be on the receiving end of things. 'Tis better to give than receive for your mental health. Give and it will be what? In good measure, it will be given back to you. Not just in stuff or in money, but in the reality, the Spirit of the living God moves through your life. And you're not destined to be a taker all of your life. And I'm not talking about necessarily social whatever. Probably going to lose. Everybody's thinking, he's talking about me. I'm not. I'm talking about me. Me. You're not destined to be a taker. You're destined by God's grace to be a giver. To give. David said, I'm not going to give the Lord a sacrifice. That what? That doesn't cost me anything. Do we like to give until it starts to hurt? And then we give no more? Could it be that if that's the case, we're giving so that we can get something? Recognition that we're a giver? Hello? Stay with me. We're about to go eat cookies. Is it possible that we give until it hurts because we really want the recognition? The Bible talks about those that stand and give and tell everybody about what they've given. Are they really given, or is that type of giving set up so that they can receive the glory and the admonition of men and women? In this word I'm sharing with you, God moved the church along. He did not let them stay at camp meeting. He moved them out to around the world. God does not want us to stay at camp. He wants to move us out. He wants to make us healthy. He wants us to stand with each other. The Good Samaritan helped that poor fellow, but the Good Samaritan was gone. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not calling fault with your story, but the Good Samaritan helped him out, but he was gone. What if God calls you to be a Good Samaritan and stay until healing takes place in somebody's life? I love that, Elijah. Last week he's running from Jezebel. This week, come help me out, Renee. I won't stop. This week, Elijah tells Ahab, there's not going to be any rain for 3 years. And God says, yo, Elijah, you better go hide. Hides out, ends up at a widow's house. She has a handful of grain and a little oil, very little. Bless Elijah's heart. He comes in, dinner ready? She said, what? He says, is dinner ready? Well, I was just making a last meal for my family. Good idea, Elijah says. Bless him. But feed me first. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that and you can't mean that. He did. Amen? He said, feed me first. And I can imagine this poor woman. Why was she a widow? She says, what difference does it make? We're going to die anyhow. All right, I'll make you. He said, if you do that, the grain will never leave. You'll always have frosted flakes. You'll always have oil. You keep feeding me, you'll keep having stuff. He tried it and it worked for days, the Bible says, until he moved on. Previously, Elijah had gone to the creek and was being fed by the ravens. That doesn't sound good to me. I had a picture of that this week in my mind. You know how what birds do when they go, wah, 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 wah. That, no chance. You get hungry enough, you might eat what the ravens bring you. But the brook was put there. He could wash it all down with the brook. Until God dries up the brook. And it moves Elijah forward. God may dry up a brook or two in your life. Amen? That causes you to move, to get up. If I don't get up here, I'm going to starve to death laying here. All my little 6-inch friends are gone. Amen? I got to get up. I got to get these ropes off my life. I got to get this sin pattern out of my head. I've got to get this demonic stuff away from me. I've got to be free. I've got to be healthy. I refuse to lay here. Enough brooks dry up in your life, and hopefully that's what you'll do. Because God's not the type that says, oh, you don't want to go through the pain? All right, I got plan B for you. It's called painless healing. Take a pill. Take a drug. That's not the heart of God. His heart is to change you from the inside. This lady was, I like that song. This lady was just about to believe Elijah and her son got sick. Eli, he got real sick. He got sick to where there was no breath in him. She said, what? Why do you punish me for my sin? Why have you come here? All I had left was my little boy. Now he's moments from death. That's a great song. Whoever Elijah was, he says, well, I'll tell you what. Give me that boy. I'm going upstairs to the upper room. What's with the upper room? Old Testament, New Testament. When things had to happen, they went to the upper room. I don't know. Well, yes, you do. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The next part I don't quite get. Elijah puts him in his bed. The guy has no air in him, and he basically jumps on top of him. No air in his lung, and Elijah lays on him, Elijah. Hey, that didn't work. How many of you thought that would work? How many of you think when there's no air in somebody, you jump on them and it's going to work? Elijah says, let me try that again. Can you see the little boy in there with not a drop of air in him? He's just still maybe alive. I don't know if he was or not, Pastor Joe. Here comes this crazy man, Elijah, laying on him again. Stretches out, the Bible says. The wording in there is like he stretched out. He extended himself and laid on him. Can't you just say that? No, I can't. Not for you. I can't just say it so you can understand what was happening. If you were the little boy underneath Elijah, you'd want me to say it this way. Because it wasn't just like, okay, he laid down. He didn't lay down. Elijah gets up 2 times and that didn't work a second time. If I was Elijah, I'd have been running from not only Jezebel, I'd have been running from that mom too. I'd been out the door and running and never looked back. I I'm going to do that one more time. Can you see the little boy lay there going, seriously? Seriously? Again? And the Spirit of the Lord came in that voice, Spirit. And his lungs filled up with the air from above. Elijah walks him down. The mother stands there with great big eyes, all kinds of cereal, tons of oil. She says, you are a man of God. What did she think he was when he was creating all this cereal and stuff? It wasn't Elijah, it was the Spirit of the living God. Who's here today? Who's available today to cut the strings in your life? To help you go through the pain, to deliver yourself by the Spirit of God. He is here. And it's his desire that you be healed and freed. Free to be what he would have you be. The power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you shift gears, Renee. I don't even know if you remember this song. This is the earliest song I ever remember hearing in church. Miles City, Montana. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Do you remember that song? And love that. I kind of remember it. Harry, you remember it. That's it there. That's it. It's not that we lay down on the souls. It's that this morning we reverse it. We don't lay down like Elijah. This morning, God's asking you to lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part. Anybody ever heard this song besides me? To win that soul for thee? What neighborhood was I raised in? It must have been the same one Renee was. I'm going to try to sing it. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. Sing it if you can with me. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. And love that soul, and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. Then we would sing, to win that soul for thee, dear Lord, to win that soul for thee, and may I ever do my part to win that soul. Last time, but I just want you to feel it this morning. It's not about the song. It's about the Lord. Is it in there? What page is it? 59? Well, you 69? Okay, I can't hear. 65. Well, good. Am I singing anywhere near the right words? 65, stand at 659. 659. I don't want to get thrown off by the song. The idea is for God to bring to you someone who can be placed on your heart. And someone that you can love. And then by your love, you can help to break the bonds on their life. By your love, you can help to stand them up so that they once again can walk. Amen? Casualties, yes, but overcomers. In the name of Jesus. Stand with me before we leave. Let's just sing this. Well, I'll do it the best I can. Page 659. I knew that I didn't make this song up.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me. And may, I don't know about the nobly, may I ever do my part to win that soul.
Now shut your books. To win that soul. Sing it.
To win that soul for thee, dear Lord. To win that soul for thee. And may I ever do my part to win that soul.
Now, very quietly, I want you to sit, please. If you would. Thank you, Renee. Ty, come on up here, if you would, please. Did you survive the service? Did you survive me? That's the bigger question. You did. Tell the people your name. Amen. That was a good one. He's going to play for just a minute. Did you have a church background back in? You got a what? Oh, dancing for the in the Christian youth group for 400 or 500 students. You heard me what I said.